Welcome to Trinity Christian Ministry, where faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross is our guiding principle. And now, let's join the Trinity Christian Ministry family as we hear the uncompromised Word of God from our pastor, Thurman Fuchs.
Amen. Amen. All right, so the other day I came home from work. Now, understand, whenever I bring a word, I always tell y'all I need counsel. The Bible says out of the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So I need my counsel. So the other day I came home, and I was home before Carlina got home. And there was some hamburger meat in the sink, thawing out. I saw it. I went on upstairs. I was tired. I went on upstairs, sat down, chilling out. And the Holy Spirit said, cook the hamburger meat. Go downstairs, get the hamburger meat, and cook it. Of course, I ain't cooking. I ain't cooking. I was sitting there. I was like, man, I'm tired. I ain't going to move. I'm not going to move. Carlina came home. The first thing she said to me, she came upstairs. I can hear her milling around downstairs. Finally, she came upstairs and she said, I'm so tired. I sure wish you would have just cooked that hamburger meat. That would have just got me so out in front for, I'm going to go cook. And I was like, I told you. What? Get on my nerves. Get out of here. Come in here with stuff. Now, the more I pondered that, I started to research the Holy Spirit in our lives. The more I researched it, the more I got blown away by him. I found that we don't give the Holy Spirit anywhere near the credit he deserves. I also realized that he's definitely on his job. I found out that he's speaking to us. The question is, are you listening? And that's the title this morning. He's speaking. Are you listening? As we go through our days, we often hear a voice giving us instructions. And if you're like me, you find that you're not always a good listener. Then when things do not go our way, we give credit to the wrong thing. Y'all know who we give credit to? Who? Mm-mm. Y'all always do it. Y'all do it. Don't even pay attention. Something told me to. We give credit to something. Something told me I shouldn't have bought that car. Something told me I shouldn't have dated that guy. Something told me. We give, and really something is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who told you not to buy that car. The Holy Spirit is the one who told you not to date that person. But we give credit. We need to give him credit because he's definitely on his job. And he never takes a day off. And get this, he's always right. So as I began to do some research, the first question I needed to answer was, what is his job description? What is he supposed to do? We all have jobs and they all have descriptions of what we should do from day to day. So let's look at his job description in our lives. Turn back to John chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 7. So we did John chapter 16, verse 7. Listen to this. His job description is in about two different scriptures that we're going to examine today. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, which means profitable, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now go over to John chapter 14. And we're going to look at, start at verse 15. Amen. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jump down to verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, in the Holy Spirit's job description, we find that he's the Comforter. He's supposed to reprove the world of sin. He's the Spirit of truth. He's supposed to guide us into all truth. He's supposed to not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears is what he shall speak. He's supposed to show us things to come. He's supposed to glorify God and receive of God and show it unto us. He shall teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, but only what God has said to us. That's his job description. He got a lot to do. That's a lot of stuff. And most of us, we had all things to do, we would simply complain. And we wouldn't even do half of them. We leaving early. We coming in late. We get mad because the person who we the Holy Spirit of ain't do what we told him to do. So I ain't going to tell him nothing else. All right, he want to do it, go ahead and do it. The Holy Spirit's job is to continue to guide us in all truth, but we just throwing a towel on the person. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him. He ain't want to do it this time. I'm going to let it happen. Let something happen to him. Now, but we do the same thing to the Holy Spirit because we don't listen to him. We ignore him all the time. Now, let's look at all these things. First of all, he's the Comforter. A Comforter is one who gives strength and hope to. He eases the grief or trouble of. He consoles, soothes, gives relief and affliction. He encourages. That's a Comforter. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So in life, we go through things to be used by the Holy Spirit to give others comfort. If you have not been through anything, if you haven't been through what I'm going through, you can't say, "I know how you feel." You can't offer a cup of consolation. If you haven't been through anything, you haven't felt it. My father passed away not too long ago. I was like, wow, you know, this is something I ain't never dealt with before. I never felt this before. And now somebody else come to me and say, "You know what? I lost this parent or this parent." I can say, "Wow, I know how you feel. It's going to be okay. Things are going to get better." You know, but if you don't go through anything, you can't, you know, you really can't show me anything. You can't really help me in that situation. The best you can do is empathize with me, because you can say, "Well, you know, it's going to be okay." I mean, when my buddy Dwayne's mother passed away, I couldn't help him. I wasn't equipped to help him. Amen? Now, the next thing it said he does is reprove or to convict or show to be wrong the world of sin and righteousness. Turn right quick to Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 5. Now, this is the part of the job that I know he does not take pleasure in. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to pick up at verse 5, amen. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for the few days chasten us after their own pleasure." That's what we do with our children. We do it after our own pleasure. We mad at them, we beat them, we hand do what we're going to do. That make us feel better. Amen. Amen, parents. Yeah. We feel much better after that. Yeah. Amen. You know, and that's what it says here. At our own pleasure. But God does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward he yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that which are exercised thereby. Chastisement gets us back on track. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do. You done veered off and you done made some strange right turn that He like, where are you going? All right. I got to open up. See, because remember, that lines up with the hedge of protection that's behind, around us. Now, that hedge of protection is around me. I step outside of that hedge of protection, making that right turn. I'm on my own. If there be no chastity, listen to Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Forget time out. Later for time out. My kids ain't never heard no time out. Not unless they playing in a game. You playing football, time out. You do something in this house, I'm going to time you out. I'm going to try to knock you out. And hey, listen, look. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Deliver his soul. Remember we said deliver is to move to a proper place. That's the definition of deliver. That's what we need to do. And that's what's happening to us. When we do something wrong, God going to deliver us from hell his way. And we on a... It would say, no chastisement for the present seem to be joyous, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We cooled in. You took that butt whipping, you dragging along. Lord have mercy, I will never even go in D.C. again. Forget about going on that street. I ain't crossing the line no more. Time I get close to the line, can you go down there and give me this gas and bring me back? Now, God also called him the Spirit of Truth. What is truth? Listen to this. Truth is consistent with fact or reality, not false or erroneous. Real, genuine, authentic, reliable, accurate, unfeigned, rightful, legitimate, exactly conforming to a rule, standard, or pattern, certainty, correct, and fact. That's truth. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is. So when he's leading us, then he's leading us into all these things. He's leading us to something real, reliable, something accurate. He's leading us to God's will, purpose, and plan for our lives. Now get this. When we choose to do our own thing, then we're headed in the opposite direction. We're headed to something that's fake, flawed, unreliable, false, incorrect. We're headed for trouble. Whenever we don't follow what the Holy Spirit is saying, because now whenever the Holy Spirit shows up to deal with us on something and there's that decision to make, now we're at a crossroads. We got to make a left or make a right. And one way is the Spirit of Truth, which is the way he's trying to lead us. And one way is a spirit of a lie that the enemy is trying to take us down. And when we yield to what that enemy is saying, we headed for trouble because he doesn't have my best interest at heart. Amen? Amen. Psalms 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Forsake thee means to leave thee. Don't let mercy and truth leave thee. Let not it leave you, and bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. And look, there's a benefit of that. It says in verse 4, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So when we follow truth, we find, look, we're walking in truth, directs us straight into favor. Straight into God's favor when we follow in truth, and then it also takes us into good understanding. We feel much better about the decision we made after the fact. Even when it's a hard decision, we still feel better about that decision. Amen? Now, this is where the job gets really interesting. He's supposed to guide us into truth, into all truth. Now, listen to the definition of guide. To assist a person to travel through. Listen to this. This is what his job description is. To assist a person to travel through or reach a destination in an unfamiliar area as by accompanying or giving directions to the person. That's what a guide is. Then it also says to accompany as a sightseer to show points of interest and explain their meaning or significance. Like when we ask, what is the purpose in my life? The Holy Spirit's job is to help answer that. Here's one, to force a person to move in a certain path. Okie dokie. to supply a person with advice or counsel, as in a practical or spiritual affairs. To supervise someone's actions or affairs in an advisory capacity. Now, we said earlier, God is truth. So again, he's guiding us to God. Now, the one that jumped out at me, y'all know what it was one that said to force a person to move in a certain path. When God is trying to get our attention, sometimes he has to follow us, has to allow a situation to happen in our lives to force us to get on the right path. And I've been a victim of this one. Years ago, back in 93, January 1, 1994, I bought the new Camaro. New Camaro, I just came out with a new sleek body, and man, and that car was the fastest thing I ever owned in my life. Now, I bought it on a Saturday. I wrecked it on the next Saturday, okay? DeAndre's in the car with me. We're coming down Branch Avenue. Almost killed us all. It was wet outside. The tires on a brand new car still haven't been broken in. Hit some water. Man, I'm right. We on Branch Avenue like this. And I was like, oh, God, hang on for life. We hit the guardrail. I tore the whole rear of my car up. Brand new body style. So the car sits in the shop for months. Well, finally get the car out. That ain't do nothing. That was the Holy Spirit. That's the little nudge. Okay, dude. Trying to tell you, if you don't slow this thing down, it's not going to go good for you. Didn't listen. So I used to work out in Virginia, out in Springfield, and I had to work on every other Saturday. So I would leave here, this side of the bridge, and I realized after going over the bridge several times that there's no police officers from 210 all the way to Route 1. Nowhere to sit. Man, I would get right there. Bah! 100 miles an hour. Ah! Ah! Every other Saturday. Then I get in Virginia. Ah, break it down, 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 break it down to 80. Rest of the way to work, 80. Bah! And don't bother me. What? You looked at my car. Did you want to race? Slow down. Slow down. I'm trying to tell you. Slow down. Nope. One evening, I'm getting off of work. Taking my buddy home from work. We driving. We minding our business. This car come up behind me. And he come up on my bumper real hard. I'm like, and he's staying on my bumper. I was like, oh, no, he don't know. He got the wrong one. And this is when it get dark early. Would get dark. So at 5 o'clock, it was dark. And it was kind of misty and rainy. I dropped down. Look, I'm in fifth. I dropped down to second. I need all the torque I can get. I'm going to let him have it. Bah! I leave him. I was like, yeah, that's enough of him. I get over him. He come again. I said, oh, this time he ain't catching me. He ain't catching me at all. I take off that last time. Bah! And my buddy lit off of Telegraph Road. So we get off of Telegraph Road. And this car cut all the way across four lanes and get off in front of me. He gets in front of me, and he turns on those red and blue lights he had. I was like, ah, what is that? Turn that off! Oh, God, what? No! So I pull over. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why you got them little hidden lights just unmarked? That was like the first time I ran into the old unmarked thing. I thought y'all had the little big lights up top. Oh, my gosh. So he gave me the ticket, and he said, I looked at it. I was like, so, you know, when you get a ticket, the first thing you look for is what? How much? So I'm looking for the price. Ain't no price. Ain't no price. What the price? How much is it? Oh, you got to come to court. Call somebody up. Man, I got pulled over for speed. Where at? Fairfax. For real? Oh, you done. They're going to dig a hole under the jail. You never get out. What are you talking about? What number speed? It's reckless driving. He said you was doing, what did he say, 107? It was like 107 or something crazy. I was like, what do you mean? They was like, they're going to lock you up. In Virginia, they'll lock you up. I was like, they said, you better get an attorney. Attorney? Really? Holy Spirit told me time and time again, slow down. We get to court. I'm standing up there, you know, you got on your suit. Yes, Your Honor. And I got this attorney, this dude like, these 2x4s. Dude, focus, focus. They trying to lock me up, man. The officer gets up there, and the whole time this was actually provoked by the officer. He was the one that provoked it. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, did I just get really pulled? The judge looked at me. This is what the judge said. Because the police officer, he chased me from Potomac Mills. So the police officer just lying all kinds of ways. So he says to me, he says, the judge saying, Officer so-and-so, your story don't seem very believable. I was like, yes, the truth is going to come out today. The truth shall set you free. But I believe you were speeding. So I'm giving you 30 days in jail and the $1,500 fine. And this, and I was like, what? And the bailiffs, they start coming up. What is wrong with y'all? Y'all, let me go. I was like, okay, Colleen. And Colleen was there, my partner in crime, you know, Colleen. Colleen, I was like, get my most card, get my most card. You got to bail me out. We want to appeal. Oh, my God. So they take me down to the downstairs. They take the shoestrings out my shoes. Really? Dude, I ain't about to hang myself, but for real, they got my shoestrings and they asked me for my belt. I was like, so I'm walking around. I'm like, well, this is... I'm scared to death. They put me in this room with all these dudes. And they looking at me. I'm the only one with a shirt and tie on with a haircut. Everybody else look like they belong there except me. And they looking at me like... I said, well, if I ain't never been a thug, let me take this. Oh, we got to unbutton some shirts and jacket got to come off. Hold up, time up, Bamas. I'm not, hey, we want to get crazy. I'm like, are you serious? All this, remember, the Holy Spirit's been telling me to slow down. His job is to force you if he has to. I'm sitting in that place. I cannot believe it. And thank you for, see, God's grace is, oh, my God. I know they up there in heaven, they were saying, look, got him now, look. He, boy, he ain't that praised like this, boy. I'm like, okay, God, if you there, I need you to intervene quick. So the first thing they did was they said, okay, let's get this punk out of here. Don't let him sit there with all them dudes. We better give him. So they gave me my cell to myself. I was like, bet. So long. So then I'm in the cell, and listen, when you go to jail, you got to get your own mat, your own bed thing, because the bed is made out of concrete. So you got to get your own mat. And they taking me to get the mat. So I go in the room, they all just nasty. I'm like picking through them. If I ain't sitting on this mess, man, y'all crazy. So I finally get a mat, and I'm like, I do not belong in jail. I'm telling you, I'm not jail material. I'm dragging it. You got any Lysol? Something to help. This is not good. So I put the thing up there, and I'm sitting in there, and there's a time. Hold on. So then they bring me something to eat and some red juice. Because it wasn't Kool-Aid. I don't know what this was. The food was cold. I was like, I ain't got no salt, pepper, ketchup, something. Come on, man. No. Oh, my gosh, the worst. I ain't going back. Oh, never. I can't. My little experience there was enough. That was enough. I don't know how you can be a repeat. I ain't going through it. Not again. That's crazy. Are you serious? Just the bed and... Then there was a guy down the hall in another cell, just out the blue. Ah! Ah! I was like, there's something wrong. He keeps yelling, y'all need to help him. Something. What is going on in this place? So finally, is a time in your life like the prodigal son, where you sit down and you come to yourself. I said, God, how could you let this happen to me? Seriously? You couldn't warn me? You could have just told me to slow down. I'd have listened. Yeah, right. Look, that point, I said, okay, I am not speeding anymore. I don't want... So finally, here come a guy, and he was like, he said, look, I'm a, he said, I'm trying to walk your paperwork through. Your wife's bailing you out. You need some paperwork or something to sign this here. They was like, do you want a jury trial? Or he said, if you do jury, it's going to take you longer to get out today. Okay, no jury. Just no jury. I don't need no jury. Man, I got out that day and give you your stuff in a bag.
Thank you for joining Trinity Christian Ministries worship service. We invite you to join us from 10 a.m. to noon every Sunday for our worship service. Bible study begins at 7 p.m. every Wednesday evening. Our address is 5847 Allentown Road, Camp Springs, Maryland. We are near Andrews Air Force Base. Our phone number is 301-374-9626. That's 301-374-9626. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.tcm-md.org. That's www.tcm-md.org. Thank you for joining us. May our Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.